At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 45th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. On my Twitter account, in the bio, there is a link that you can follow to get all the links you need to help support and follow this podcast. All right, guys, you already know the deal. Manscaped, they are an official sponsor of the Calcio Corner podcast. Manscaped are the absolute best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So what are you waiting for? And I have an exclusive offer for my listeners. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's one word, no spaces. The code is CALCIOCORNER. That's C-A-L-C-I-O corner. You can go to their site right now and order some of their great products as you're listening to this episode. But let me tell you about one of their best products, in my opinion, and that's the one that you should go out and get right now. It's the Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. Inside that Perfect Package 3.0, you're going to find the Lawnmower 3.0. Manscaped has created the best below-the-waist hair trimmer ever. That Lawnmower 3.0, it's their third-generation trimmer. It features cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for more precise shave, and what I personally think is the best feature on it is that it's waterproof to make your shower shave nice and clean, nice and easy. So go get your Perfect Package 3.0, which includes that Lawnmower 3.0, and you will not regret it. But make sure you go and get 20% off and you get that free shipping, but you have to use the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. The link, the promo code, all the information you need is in the description of this podcast. So check it out and go get yours right now. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And make sure you use the code CALCIOCORNER. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job at Manscaped. All right, so we will look at my four talking points, my four corners for this episode of the podcast, episode number 45. My first talking point has to be Juventus crashing out of the Champions League. I have not put out a podcast since that happened. And that was a very disappointing result, obviously, going out against Porto in the round of 16. No disrespect to Porto, but of course, Juventus were favorites in this game to advance and in this matchup, I should say, and should have advanced. And then when you consider in that second leg, when Porto went down to 10 men, and for a significant amount of time, and Juve mounted that comeback, but they just couldn't find that game winner, and then conceding that late goal in extra time was obviously just super disappointing from a Juventus standpoint. Juve were the team that were most likely of the three Champions League teams, Italian Champions League teams, to advance to the next round. At the time of this recording, obviously, Atalanta have yet to play their second leg against Real Madrid, and certainly very much alive in that game, just a 1-0 result they would have to reverse. Lazio, obviously, they have a mountain to climb, a very steep mountain. Their 4-1 first leg defeat to Bayern. So disappointing that Juve did not advance and potentially put us in a position where we have no Italian teams past the round of 16. But again, we'll have to wait to see about that. Now, since Cristiano Ronaldo joined Juventus during the summer of 2018, Juventus have not gone further than the quarterfinals. Not exactly what Juventus's management and Juve fans were, you know, had in mind when they brought in Cristiano Ronaldo at that time. And when you look at who has knocked them out over these three seasons with Ronaldo in the Champions League, it's been Ajax, Lyon, and Porto. Again, no disrespect, but none of those three teams are exactly the cream of the crop among European teams over these past few seasons. So plenty of disappointment from Juve in the Champions League ever since Cristiano Ronaldo has signed with them. And what has been true in those previous two Champions League campaigns, not this one, was that Cristiano Ronaldo played outstanding, right? He was just what you, everything as advertised that you would expect him to be and want him to be if you're a Juve fan. You could argue, you know, some of his teammates over those past two seasons in the Champions League, they kind of let him down. And they were the reason that, you know, Juve couldn't get past Ajax, Juve couldn't get past Lyon, respectively. But against Porto this season, these two games in this matchup of the round of 16, Cristiano Ronaldo, he was uncharacteristically bad, not as effective of a player. And he, you know, he kind of let down some of those Juve players that really stepped up, like a Federico Chiesa, who played outstanding over those two legs and was, you know, by far Juve's best player in this matchup. And if you had Ronaldo play to the level in which we're, you know, we're so used to seeing him play in all competitions, let alone in the Champions League, where he really just elevates his game, I think Juve undoubtedly get past Porto. I have no doubt about that. But this Champions League failure, again, you can't solely put on Ronaldo. That's not totally fair. But Ronaldo definitely deserves his criticism for Juve crashing out this time, something you couldn't do in the previous two seasons with Ronaldo. So what is next for Juve and the likely rebuild that we're heading towards over this summer with Juve? Of course, you know, the expectations for Juventus is always to win. So I'll use that term rebuild loosely. Juventus are like the, you know, the New York Yankees here in New York. The expectation is always to win. You know, even if Juve or the Yankees want to embark on a rebuild, they can't do it like most clubs or most teams could, where that pressure, that expectation to always win doesn't exist. They have to still balance, you know, with those expectations of putting a very competitive team that could compete and be competitive enough to challenge for a title, yet also kind of eyeing that future and bring it along and developing these young players. So it's a tight rope to, you know, walk on and a tight thread to deal with and a tough act to juggle, any other metaphor or you know, whatever you want to use to analyze the situation. But that's a tough situation that Juve are dealing with. Clearly, Juventus have promising young talent to build around and usher in this new era at the club. Dybala, he'll be back and healthy eventually. You have De Ligt, you have Weston McKennie. Obviously, they activated that option to make his move permanent. You have Artur, you have Kulusevski, although Kulusevski certainly has to elevate his game. He has not been the player that Juve fans were hoping for when he came over from Parma. And perhaps most importantly, the player you have is Federico Chiesa. I think Chiesa will likely be that key player. He'll be the face of Juventus going forward in time and kind of, you know, eventually take that mantle and again, be that poster child for what Juve's future is going to look like. You could certainly throw Demiral in that mix if you believe in him, but he's made, you know, he's made quite a few mistakes this season. And I have my mixed feelings about him, but he is a young player. He does have some promise. So you know, if you want to include him in that young nucleus of what Juventus will use going forward, but the foundation is there for a rebuild. It certainly is there. And those players I mentioned, it's not just players for a rebuild. They will keep Juve competitive next season. And like I said, that's something that Juventus have to maintain. They can't go full rebuild without also maintaining that competitive balance. But that young core nucleus that I mentioned certainly allows Juve to do that. And if you're going to go through, you know, with the rebuild this summer and try to emphasize this youth, that probably bodes well, obviously, for Pirlo keeping his job. I know that's been a hot topic since Juve's crash out of the Champions League. Should Juve, you know, fire Pirlo now? Should they bring him back over the summer? But I think this rebuild, this youth movement at Juve bodes well for keeping Pirlo. As I said, you know, he's going to be the man that guides this rebuild at Juve. The club hired him with absolutely no experience, as we all know. So that kind of tells me that they were committed to keeping him for multiple years and not, you know, just firing him after one season. They were going to allow him to lead this rebuild, to work with these young players. And hopefully, you know, in the eyes of Juve's management, what their ultimate goal is to have Juve at a better place from the start of the season when they hired Pirlo and have them in a better place 2-3 years down the road while remaining competitive and Pirlo kind of leading that charge as the coach and giving him time to implement his style, allowing him to have time to develop a system and a relationship and rapport with these young players, and again, have Juve in a better place 2-3 years down the road than where they currently are. I think the only way I could see Pirlo perhaps losing his job is if they fail to qualify for the Champions League this season. And even then, I'm not fully convinced they would fire him. I think they are married to Pirlo for a minimum of at least another season, in my opinion. And along with this rebuild, you know, Juventus, they're going to have some tough decisions to make this summer, no doubt about it. They have some older players that mean a lot to this club. They're very symbolic with the Juventus name, like Buffon, like Bonucci, like Chiellini. Can't forget about Cristiano Ronaldo and his uncertain future. And the club certainly needs to decide if, you know, some of these older veteran players, are they going to be a part of this rebuild? Are they, what type of value do they provide next season? And they certainly do provide some value, obviously, from a leadership standpoint. And, you know, some of them, like especially Bonucci, is still so critical for this team. Obviously, we know what a special talent Ronaldo is. We know Buffon is the backup to Szczesny. Chiellini, he's missed a lot of time, but, you know, look, he put in a good performance or two this season. But I think if, you know, you could say it's time that, you know, Juventus turned the keys over to their defense fully to De Ligt and Demiral, if he's still here, or perhaps another young center back if the club brings one in this summer. Turn the defense over to them. It's kind of, you know, one of those tough decisions that Juve are going to have to make, moving on from iconic players like Bonucci and Chiellini. I know there's been some talk in the media that Chiellini could retire this summer, so that would kind of eliminate Juventus needing to make any decision regarding him this summer. But this is definitely going to be one of the more interesting summers for Juventus. It's going to perhaps dictate a lot of what we could see from this club in the future. And certainly it's one of the biggest storylines, in my opinion, to follow in all of Italy when it comes to, you know, the mercato and what Juve do this summer and what direction they move in with these young players and who else do they look to bring in to kind of add to this project, assuming that Pirlo is the guy guiding it. What players does he want to, you know, bring in now that they'll have a full summer mercato and whatnot? So certainly something very interesting to see what goes on at Juventus this summer. All right, so my second talking point for this episode is Cristiano Ronaldo, and I've kind of touched upon this a little bit with the, you know, the Juve tough decisions they have to make and the rebuild and whatnot they'll embark on this summer. And certainly Cristiano Ronaldo is one of those players with, you know, uncertainty in terms of his status at the club going forward. Perhaps no decision is bigger than what actually happens with Cristiano Ronaldo. Should they move on from him? Do they keep him, arguably, you know, one of the best players in the world still? It was just a few months ago that the Italian media were talking about Juventus and Ronaldo working on a contract extension, and I know, you know, that's still been kind of mentioned out there in the media, but a lot has certainly changed since then. When it looked like they were heading towards an extension, now they could be heading towards an exit this summer. We have strong rumors, you know, coming out of Spain that, you know, we're talking about a possible Real Madrid Cristiano Ronaldo remarriage, if you will, that Ronaldo could return to Real Madrid. Pirlo even acknowledged those rumors at a press conference recently and said, you know, it's understandable given, you know, all that's happened, that those type of rumors would be out there. And I don't know, you know, how I feel necessarily about this situation. I kind of could see both sides of the argument, you know, one being Juventus need to keep Ronaldo. He's just such a special talent. How could you, you know, give up a player like this, of this caliber? I know he had the poor display against Porto, but he's been outstanding ever since he's joined Juventus and scoring goals and whatnot. And, you know, I understand the other side saying that, you know, it's time to move on from him. You know, bringing him in hasn't brought that Champions League success. You know, moving on from him could free up a significant amount of money in terms of wages that Juventus could, you know, spread out and spend on several players to improve the overall depth and quality perhaps of this team. So that's certainly on the argument side to get rid of Ronaldo. And a lot could be dictated in terms of where do Juventus finish this season. If they end up finishing outside the top four and not qualifying for the Champions League, do we actually think Cristiano Ronaldo would end up staying? He obviously, the number of seasons he has left in his career are numbered. Does he want to spend the season playing in the Europa League? I just can't see it. Plus, you know, by Juve, if they were to miss out on the Champions League, they would be missing out on a ton of money, that Champions League money. And, you know, to try to alleviate perhaps missing out on that money, you could sell Ronaldo and get rid of his high salary. So that certainly is a factor that could dictate what happens with Ronaldo this summer. If they finish in the top four, they qualify for the Champions League. Certainly keeping Ronaldo is justifiable because, you know, you want to put together the strongest team and assemble a talented team with Ronaldo to try to finally make that deep run in the Champions League. And it certainly, their positioning will dictate, I think, or at least contribute towards what we see happen with Ronaldo's future. But at the end of the day, you know, Ronaldo is still a special talent. He's still one of the best players in the world, and he brings a lot to Juventus, and he would still bring a lot to them next season. He obviously shows no signs of dropping off in terms of his production and talent and physical fitness. So I just don't know what is the right decision for this club. And I know that's kind of a weak take to have, not really be fully on either side of the fence, but it really is a tough decision. I'm glad I'm not one who has to make this decision, but, you know, I could kind of talk myself into going both sides, you know, picking, you know, Juve should keep Ronaldo, Juve should move on from him. And also at the same time, we also don't know what Ronaldo wants to do. Certainly he's been overall fairly quiet since Juve have been knocked out of the Champions League. I know he's still focused on this season, and there's still a belief amongst the Juventus team that they could win the Scudetto or compete for it. Certainly, as I mentioned, finishing in the top four is essential for this team. So we don't know what Ronaldo wants to do. So obviously that's also going to play a role in what happens with him this summer. And I know Ronaldo, obviously, we all know he was brought to Juventus with that goal in mind of winning that Champions League, right? They had reached two finals previously from bringing in Ronaldo. So certainly bringing in Ronaldo, the goal was for them to eventually hoist that Champions League trophy. And as I mentioned earlier, it's been nothing but failure and early exits in the Champions League for Juve with Ronaldo. But with that being said, I don't think you can automatically say that his time at Juventus has been a failure. How Ronaldo has impacted Juventus and Serie A as a whole just goes so much deeper than, you know, the Champions League failures. And he's had so many positive impacts on Juve, so many positive impacts on Serie A. And let's assume Ronaldo is sold this summer. I think you could describe his time at Juventus as somewhat disappointing and, you know, coming up short. But I don't think you could use the word failure. I think that's just not a fair word to attribute to his time at Juve. Because again, I know the goal was to win that Champions League, but that can't be the only expectation. That can't be the only barometer, the only gauge in terms of how you judge his time at the club. Because that's, again, it's just not fair, in my opinion. There were so many other impacts he had, not just for Juve, but for Serie A as a whole. So again, if you want to kind of say his time at Juve was a bit of a failure and coming up short, I think that's fair. But to broad stroke his time at Juve as a failure, in my opinion, is just not fair. And as I mentioned in my first point, certainly this summer is going to be, there's going to be a lot of intrigue surrounding this Juventus team. And perhaps the biggest intrigue is what happens with Cristiano Ronaldo. All right, so my third talking point on this episode certainly has to be recapping round 27, some of the big action from round 27 in Serie A this weekend. Got to start with Inter, the league leaders. They get yet another win. They keep rolling, although they did anything but roll in this game. They beat Torino 2-1. It wasn't a pretty game from Inter. It was anything but their best performance this season, or one of their best performances. Torino gave them some fight. Inter, played a little bit sloppy, but at the end of the day, they got the 2-1 win. That's obviously what's most important. They get the 3 points. They maintain their lead in first place, and they continue to hold off teams like Milan, Juve, Atalanta, and everybody else. But this is the type of win, as I've said a few times with this team, even when you don't have your best performance when you're Inter, you're playing a team like Torino that you should win, and you certainly have to get all 3 points out of. You know, it's certainly a big win for them in the sense that they were able to get 3 points despite their ugly performance, despite their lackluster performance. And that's the type of performance that if you want to be a Scudetto winner, if you want to be a title winner or a challenge for it, you have to pull off those ugly wins. And that's what they did. So certainly they got a good 3 points in that game. And Lautaro Martinez put in a good performance. I know, again, he's been very heavily criticized throughout a lot of the season, but he's starting to heat up. He's starting to really play a lot better, score some big goals for them. Alexis Sanchez also provided a nice spark off the bench for the few minutes that he came on, and helped them get that game-winner goal from Lautaro Martinez. So, again, a good win for Inter. Given their poor performance in this game, definitely a good 3 points that they were able to still take out of this and not, drop points that could have proved to be critical. All right, the marquee game from this weekend certainly was the game between Milan and Napoli. Napoli coming away with a big victory at the San Siro. And as you've heard many times on this podcast, I talk about the roller coaster season of Napoli and not knowing which team is going to show up. And they got a big win at the San Siro. As I mentioned, that puts them at 50 points. So they're now tied with Roma on points, who had a very disappointing loss, 2-0 against Parma. Massive 3 points for Parma, certainly, but a very disappointing loss for Roma. But that puts Napoli tied with Roma on points. Obviously, they still remain 2 points behind Atalanta, who also won this weekend. But they're only now 6 points behind Milan for second place. I've talked about a few times how there is that crazy scenario in which Milan could go from, being in first place most of the season, people talking about them potentially winning the Scudetto, to potentially crashing out and falling all the way out of the top four. If Juve stick around and hang in the top four, which I think most of us expect to happen, Atalanta show no signs of slowing down. We've seen Napoli, step up in some big games and really show up. And certainly if they could turn things around now that Mertens is healthy, Osimhen is healthy, both of them back in the lineup, this Napoli team is extremely dangerous. As I mentioned, I know Roma had that disappointing loss to Parma, but they're certainly a side that still has a lot to say in terms of the battle for the top four. I don't think you could totally write Lazio off quite yet. It's, it is a scenario in which Milan could fall out of the top four, which would be catastrophic and be an absolute nightmare situation for the Rossoneri. But from a Napoli standpoint, big win going to the San Siro and getting the win. Politano scoring a goal in this game. He is really playing really well lately and becoming a key player for Napoli in their attack, and a player that's kind of helping them, who's really been critical all season in the absence of many of those injured players, as I said, like Mertens and Osimhen and whatnot. So certainly having him in that lineup, he's starting to prove his value for this team. And this is, you see these performances from Napoli, how they beat Juve a few weeks ago, how they go to the San Siro and beat Milan. And then you sometimes say to yourself, why is this team struggle at times? And you look and you say, is it a Gattuso issue? Is it not? Is he someone that should keep his job? It's a really weird situation in Naples, but good win for Napoli, a big win for them in this marquee game. Now they'll face Roma over the weekend, and certainly that's a big game. Both teams tied, as I said, 50 points each. If either of those teams are able to get the 3 points in that matchup, that certainly will go a long way. But that was certainly another point I wanted to mention from this weekend's action in Serie A, the big Napoli win. Juve, they won 3-1 against Cagliari. Obviously, this was their first performance after their disappointing crashing out of the Champions League against Porto, as I mentioned and highlighted earlier with one of my earlier points. And, you know, Chiellini had a quote, something to the effect of, you know, we do our talking on the field and whatnot, because they were, you know, the club was pretty quiet. The players were quiet after their knocking out against Porto. But, you know, the only thing I would say to Chiellini, and I love Chiellini, is, you know, you do the talking on the field. That's great. It's a great motto. It's a safe, you know, thing to say to help, you know, not have to talk in the media and whatnot. But you beat Cagliari in Serie A. You're out of the Champions League. You know, this result against Cagliari does not have any bearings on that falling out of the Champions League and whatnot. So, yeah, I get what Chiellini was saying, but it was, you know, whatever. Ronaldo scored a couple goals in this game. He's certainly, again, he's challenging along with Lukaku, the two of them, for the Capocannonieri this season. So that's a good race to follow, who's going to be the leading goal scorer in Serie A. But I did think it was a good response for Juve, because Cagliari have been doing a little bit better under Semplici. They were unbeaten in the three games he had coached previously. Now they get their first defeat under him. So I get what Chiellini was saying with the talking on the field, but this game has no bearing on the Champions League game. But it was a good response. So that was another result from this weekend, certainly worth highlighting. And now, given Milan's loss, Juve just 1 point back to being just 1 point behind Milan. So again, you know, that free fall from Milan, it's a possibility, and it's certainly something that has to have Rossoneri fans a bit nervous, and it allows Inter to increase their lead, obviously, in the Scudetto race. Now they're 9 points clear of Milan, and I've been saying it for a while now that I think the Scudetto race has been over for a few weeks now, and I think this only further confirms that Inter show no signs of slowing down. Milan dropped more points. Lead is up to 9. I don't see anybody catching Inter, just from the standpoint of any team being good enough to go on a crazy run of results, but also you need the combination of Inter really, you know, taking a little bit of a dive, which they have yet to do all season, and again, show no signs of that at all. Another, you know, thing I just wanted to mention from this weekend, I mentioned Parma getting a big 2-0 win over Roma. Bad loss for Roma, as I've said. Definitely could prove to be a critical one in terms of whether or not they finish in the top four and qualify for the Champions League next season. But Brian Reynolds, the young teenage fullback, American fullback that they signed in January from FC Dallas, he finally came on in the second half to make his Roma debut. So that was kind of nice to see him finally get a run out there and make his debut for Roma, as I mentioned. Another result, just to point out, Genoa Udinese, they drew 1-1. We know we've seen an improved Genoa side under Ballardini. But how about Udinese? Again, getting the 1-1 draw. They are now on a 5-game unbeaten streak. They have moved into the top half of the table. They're currently in 10th place. And a team that was at one point in danger of being relegated. They let Kevin Lasagna go to Verona. They let Mandragora go to Torino. So, you know, those were some puzzling moves in my opinion. Here's a team like Udinese that was not quite clear of relegation yet. Selling two of their better players, two of their, you know, starters on their roster and whatnot. So I was kind of puzzled when they made those moves, but, you know, Luca Gotti is pressing all the right buttons right now as the coach with this team. Again, 5-game unbeaten streak, getting this draw 1-1 against Genoa. They move into 10th place, and certainly when you look at the roster and the players on that team, it wasn't a team that should have been in danger of being relegated, but it was. But they've really turned things around, and again, they finally cracked the top 10, so shout out to Udinese getting this draw in this game this week. Another point worth mentioning from this round was Dusan Vlahovic, his first half hat trick for Fiorentina, and their 4-1 win over Benevento. Benevento certainly are in a bit of a free fall and in danger of being relegated. La Viola, you know, starting to, you know, look a little bit perhaps like they're headed towards salvation, and certainly one of the teams that won't be relegated, which should have never been even on the table. But Vlahovic put in a heck of a performance, 3 goals. He certainly coming into this season was one of the players, a striker in the league, a young player that, you know, people kind of had high expectations for and thought could be a breakout player and starting to come along. So he certainly wants to continue to monitor going forward, but he had a great performance, so I definitely wanted to give him a shout out. All right, my fourth and final talking point, my fourth corner that I wanted to address on this podcast has to do with the Juventus-Napoli game that was set to be played on March 17th, this upcoming Wednesday. It was obviously the rescheduled game from that whole issue with Napoli not traveling to Turin with the COVID cases, and not going to get into that. We all know that story. But again, the game was finally rescheduled to be played March 17th, this upcoming Wednesday. But once again, it's going to be delayed, and now it'll be played on April 7th. Now, the game was pushed back because both Juve, both Napoli, they requested that this game get delayed again. And obviously Serie A, the league approved it because it's obviously moved back. And the point I wanted to talk about regarding this is, so after this news came out, Roma filed not a complaint, but they inquired about why was this decision made? Why was this Juve-Napoli game pushed from March 17th to April 7th? What was the rationale behind it? What was, you know, why did Juve-Napoli both ask for this delay? Because Roma are arguing that this has given Napoli a competitive advantage because these two teams, Roma and Napoli, they are set to play this upcoming weekend, which is certainly a big game as both teams are battling for a Champions League spot. And given the results from this weekend, certainly it puts this game, makes it a little bit more of a critical game, even though it would have been regardless of, you know, whatever happened this current weekend in Serie A. So Roma not happy that Napoli got, you know, this game pushed back because Napoli would have played three games in a week. They played Milan this weekend. They obviously would have played Juve midweek and then Roma on Sunday. Roma are looking at this and saying, we just played Parma on Sunday. We lost. We got to play Thursday in the Europa League and we'd be playing Napoli on Sunday. So we'd also play three games in a week. How come Napoli got to move their midweek game to a further date? And why do we now have to play three games in a week span and play Napoli at the end of the week? And in some ways, you know what? I think Roma have a legitimate beef. It was never really specified, and unless I missed it, at least at the time of me recording this, as to why did this Napoli-Juve game get pushed back? Like, what was the rationale? What was Juve's point? What was Napoli's point in getting this game pushed back? So I think Roma do have some beef to, you know, argue this and inquire about why it got pushed back, because it certainly does give Napoli the advantage when they played Roma next Sunday in terms of longer rest. Right now they, you know, they're playing the regular week-to-week game, whereas Roma now have three games packed in a week, certainly a more difficult schedule. But that's what happens when you are in the Europa League and or in the Champions League and you have those midweek games to juggle. But at least Roma were thinking going into this, okay, at least Napoli also have to deal with the midweek fixture, and now they don't have to. So I do think Roma have a legitimate beef. It'll be interesting to see what comes out, if anything comes out, in terms of why this was approved by the league. But I mean, I just want to see Juve Napoli play again. I was kind of looking forward to this game this Wednesday, but now we'll have to wait a little bit longer, a couple extra weeks. April 7th is the finally, unless something else gets pushed back, the day that we'll get this makeup game between Juve Napoli. And that game in and of itself, just like the Napoli Roma game this upcoming weekend, is going to have big implications in the top four race. So we'll obviously that Juve Napoli game on April 7th. But that was my fourth and final point that I would like to address on this podcast. The Juve-Napoli game getting delayed again at the request of both of those clubs, and Roma, I think justifiably so, inquiring about what was the rationale that allowed this game to get delayed. All right, moving on to Buy or Sell It to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Number one, Buy or Sell It, after their win against Roma, Parma will stay up in Serie A and avoid relegation. I'm going to sell this one now. Certainly a big win for Parma, getting those 3 points against Roma, three unexpected points. It's two games in a row, which they have not lost. They obviously drew against Fiorentina last week, 3-3. They had a couple other draws sprinkled in there recently as well. So over the last five games, they are unbeaten in four out of those five games. So certainly, you know, improvement, right? Progress from this Parma side under Roberto D'Aversa. And I talked about it on the episode last week about some of the kind of the heartbreaking results for Parma recently, right? They had a 2-0 lead against Udinese, ended up drawing 2-2. Had a 2-0 lead against Spezia, ended up drawing 2-2. They lost to Inter, obviously 2-1, no shock there. Then just last week, they were winning against Fiorentina 3-2 and then conceded. They scored a late goal in the dying seconds that gave Fiorentina the draw. So they've kind of been closer to getting 3 points. They had to settle for three draws instead. Now they pulled the shocking 2-0 win over Roma. And when you consider that Roma, as I've mentioned, you know, they don't drop points against these lower table teams, the lower level teams. It's the top teams they can't beat. You know, I think we are seeing progress, as I said, from Parma. I just think with the 19 points that they have, Torino sitting on 20 points, but they have two games to make up that they had postponed due to COVID. So Torino, certainly there's 6 points out there for them to grab, or at least get some pieces of those, some fraction or some part of those 6 points. Cagliari, we've seen them approve a little bit of their Simplici, but obviously they got beaten this week 3-1 against Juve. Benevento, they've really been in a free fall. At one point, they were looking like a team that could be safe, but or would definitely stay up in Serie A. But now that's certainly anything but a given. Spezia have really been struggling of late. Genoa, for the great work that Ballardini did and turned this team around, they're certainly not clear yet. They're still, you know, very much a team that could be relegated. But I think Parma, 19 points, I just think, you know, the bad stretch that they were on, I think dug him in too deep of a hole. So I sell it. I do think Parma end up still going down, although we've certainly seen, as I said, a far better team, a more competitive team. Some of these signings that they've made are starting to pan out and starting to help out a little bit. It's certainly a team that should never have been in this position. For whatever reason, they are in this position, unfortunately, just 19 points through 27 games. It's an unfortunate situation. Parma certainly have fought hard from their, you know, their bankruptcy days, being down in Serie D, and to get all the way back up to Serie A. They were a competitive side last season, but I don't think this win against Roma, these 3 points, while they certainly help, that goes without saying. I don't think they'll ultimately save them. I still see Parma, unfortunately for them, being relegated this season. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Romelu Lukaku making the right decision, turning down Manchester City's interest in staying at Inter this summer. Definitely got to buy this one 100%. So I was reporting Gazzetta dello Sport recently that Pep Guardiola, you know, he's targeting a couple strikers that he would like to bring to Man City this summer. They're targeting Harry Kane of Tottenham. They're targeting Haaland of obviously Borussia Dortmund. And Lukaku's name has been linked to Manchester City a few times, and he's the third striker that they're being linked to. And there was a report in Gazzetta dello Sport that Lukaku has absolutely zero interest in leaving Inter this summer and has no interest in going back to England, back to the Premier League, back to the city of Manchester. This time it would be obviously in the blue of Manchester City rather than the red of Manchester United. But I wholeheartedly buy this one, that Lukaku should stay at Inter. That it's a no-brainer. Obviously, you know, Inter, as I've said many times, are en route to winning the Scudetto, ending Juve's, you know, title run, and finally ending Inter's title drought. Lukaku is obviously as vital a piece to this Inter team as anybody, as any player on this roster. He is absolutely beloved by the Inter fans. He's beloved by his teammates. He's beloved by Antonio Conte. He's a great player for the League of Serie A. He's a great face of Serie A. He is one of the faces of Serie A. He has certainly also, you know, kind of re-elevated himself, if you will, in terms of one of the, you know, the bigger names in the sport in general, I believe, and certainly one of the top strikers in the world. We know the criticism he got from his time at Manchester United and whatnot, and I don't think he has any interest of returning to England, at least anytime soon, certainly not this summer. He's definitely committed to this Inter project. He's committed, I think, you know, long-term there, and the club wants him. It's a perfect marriage. There's no way he's leaving this summer, so I definitely buy it that he, you know, reportedly has turned down any interest from Pep Guardiola from playing at Manchester City. You know, who even knows if he, I'm not saying he wouldn't care, but, you know, being a former Manchester United player, perhaps he has no interest in even playing for City ever, but wholeheartedly expect him to stay. I know he's staying at Inter. So yes, I definitely buy this one that Lukaku should turn down any interest from not just Manchester City, but from any club. He's in a perfect situation right now, and he's very beloved at Inter, so definitely buy this one. So that will do it for the 45th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.